Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the three bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.
Let's talk about sexually transmitted infections. The Department of Health has launched a new 10-year national sexual health strategy to tackle the growing problem of young people getting STIs. There's been an increase in the number of home STI tests, but there's still a number of issues around the treatment of those illnesses, including staff shortages, clinic closures, long waiting lists and so on. Dr. Aisling Loy is a consultant who specialises in sexual health, and she's in our Marconi House studio. Good morning to you, Aisling.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Why do you think there has been an increase in the number of young people who are contracting STIs, some of which, they're all serious, but some of which are more serious than others?
This has been a slow and steady increase over many, many years. So since, you know, if we look back at the early 2000s, so we peaked in 2023, and thankfully over the last 2 years, the strategy and the interventions that have been put in place have started to see a decline. So 2024, and so far this year we've seen 15 to 20% decreases. So that's good news. However, overall it's been increasing. We don't know fully why. There is some more testing. There's more access to care with the free online testing services that are available. And we know that people are now maybe taking more risks. They're not using condoms as much. And they're maybe having more sexual partners. And we've had a rise in our population as well. So there's many factors. But with the strategy, what they're looking at is the access to care. And that's really important for people to be able to test and to access treatment if they need it. So the thing that they noticed was that with the 23 free clinics that the HSE provides, there's still 10 counties in Ireland that don't have any sexual health service in their county. So it's all about expansion of services and making access to care more accessible to not just young people, but the full population.
When I go back to my own time in college, there were two things that always stood out in terms of the messaging around sexual health. One was HIV. At the time, it was, you know, treatable, but not as treatable as it is now. And the other was unwanted pregnancy. And they, let me assure you, they were both driving factors in making sure that my generation were safe. Have we dropped the messaging too much around the risk factors from the likes of HIV and things that really weren't discussed back in the 90s? Things like syphilis and gonorrhea, which I would have described as somewhat Victorian conditions.
Yeah, so with HIV, we've made a lot of progress. The group that should be targeted are being targeted with messaging online and public health campaigns. So that's mostly, we're seeing it in the GBMSM community. And we have PrEP, which is HIV prevention, which is has been introduced in Ireland since 2019. We also have test and treat. So as soon as people are diagnosed, they're on treatment. And this means that they can't pass it on. So with HIV, we feel like we're making good progress, and we're not seeing as many new diagnoses in Ireland today as we were, say, 10 years ago. So that's a good news story. However, I think with the advent of things like PrEP, and that's the HIV prevention drug that people who are at risk can take, they maybe then are dismissing condoms because they don't feel they should be worried about HIV and therefore are at increased risk of other STIs, such as you say, syphilis, which is still on the rise. And, you know, it's not a Victorian illness. I treat syphilis every day in life in my clinic. And chlamydia, gonorrhea, all of these infections haven't gone away. They're still quite prevalent in all communities.
Are there certain groups that are more at risk than others? I mean, is that why this strategy has been tweaked a little bit so that we get a deeper understanding of who is more at risk?
Yeah, it's important to target the right people. Everyone who's having unprotected sex with multiple partners is at risk of an STI. We know that certain groups in society, often quite marginalised groups and hard to reach traditionally, groups such as migrants, sex workers, young people under 25s are more at risk, people gay, bisexual men who have sex with men are more at risk. So it's really important to make sure that it's equitable access for all and that we target specifically people who are in these high risk categories, but not leaving behind our young heterosexual people who also need that education, also need access to care.
Is there a change in the attitude of the people who come into the clinic? I remember years ago, you know, the idea, the fear that anyone would have had going to be tested would be that, you know, the bus would pass by and they'd see them going into the clinic and everyone would know why they're there. Are we over that?
No, I think that attitude is still very much there. It's probably a bit less than it was in the 1980s, 1990s, but it's still there is still a lot of shame and a lot of stigma. I work in Dublin, but I think outside of Dublin especially, I would have patients who travel for many, many, many hours to come to a clinic in Dublin, so not to be seen locally or not to go to their GP or not to have someone they know. So I hear those stories every day of the shame and stigma still attached to.
How do you deal with them? Because obviously part of your role as a clinician is, yes, to treat the infection that's in front of you, but you have to try and dissuade them of that stigma so that they can at least have an open conversation with other people who might be at risk.
It can be hard. I mean, we do so for contact tracing. If you're getting at that, we do have a team that are involved in that, where we try to say if there's other people at risk. There's ways of doing it anonymously. Contact tracing is something that people became probably more aware of during COVID.
Well, COVID, yeah. We all knew about it, yeah. But it happens in other illnesses as well.
Yeah, we've had it in place from the 1980s, 90s in sexual healthcare. So there's ways that it's done anonymously, and we talk to patients to try and persuade them, especially if it's a big infection like HIV or syphilis that would have serious consequences for a person. And most people, they are open to the idea of contact tracing because, you know, most people, their moral compass is in the right place and they know to do the right thing.
Again, talking about gonorrhea, it wasn't a thing. Well, it was a thing, obviously, in the 90s, but it certainly wasn't publicised. And young people didn't feel as if they were at risk of other things, but not that. But 2% of young people have had a gonorrhea without realising it. And I can't pronounce it because it's pharyngeal.
Pharyngeal, so in the throat, yeah. Essentially. So, okay. Yes, this was a study published very recently, and it was done in Ireland. So it was all of Ireland included, Northern Ireland and south of Ireland. And basically 7,000 young people, so that's age 17 to 24, did home testing kits. And when they asked for the home testing kit, not only were they given the usual swabs of a vaginal swab for women and a urine sample for men, they were given an additional test to do, and that was to swab their own throats, like the COVID test. And when they sent those tests back, the people in SH24 find that 2% of those young people actually carried gonorrhea in their throat and didn't have it anywhere else. So if we did traditional testing, which does not include the throat swab, we wouldn't have picked that up in that 2%. So it's not normal to do throat swabbing in heterosexual young people. We traditionally do it in the GBMSM cohort, but not in the young people. And it was found to be there in 2%. So we have to think about that and think about, should we change our testing practices?
Now, I'm conscious that there are younger listeners, so we will tailor our language appropriately. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing this would have come as a shock to the people who tested positive. And what is the impact of having gonorrhea in the throat?
So you could infect partners. And so for most people, it's asymptomatic. Some people will get a sore throat, but you can pass it on to other people and they can then develop symptoms. It could impact fertility and future partners if it was passed on to infect the pelvic area. So it is of consequence, but we have to think about it. Is it worth screening? You know, because if it's there without symptoms in the person and without consequence in that person, do we risk putting antibiotics into people that may lead to resistance in the future? Do we overburden the labs, the clinics? So you have to balance it up, and it's something that the public health team have to look at, you know, with the specialists all involved to see if it's worth screening and treating these patients. So at the moment, we don't do it unless it's indicated.
Okay. I tell public health, this is such fun sometimes when you're looking at trying to balance all of these things up.
Yeah.
Aisling, just to finish up on this, we talked a lot about young people, and obviously this department's focus on young people will hopefully bear dividends in years to come. But there is also the older cohort of people, you know, people who are in their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, and possibly even beyond, mm-hmm. who are also presenting with STIs for the first time in their lives. How do we get the message through to them that age does not equal immunity?
Well, I think shows like this, you know, are great for the older population. You know, this will not target probably 15 to 24 year olds. But I do, after I come on somewhere like this, I will get older people coming in going, oh, my goodness, I heard you on News Talk. I didn't know where to go. And now they're there in front of me. And so it's great to have mediums like this to reach the older cohort, because we do have people who are sexually active, who are maybe, you know, divorced and out again into the big wide world that has changed. There's more international travel, there's more access to sex than ever before. So we do see those people presenting. And with gum clinics, we don't just see people with infections, we see people with genital skin issues, with itches, discomforts, rashes down there that may not be related to infections per se. So it's just to get the message out there that people know where to access care, where to come and see us, and to not be ashamed or embarrassed, that it is part, your sexual health is part of your overall health and well-being, and it can be a big part in some people's lives and maybe not so big in other people's, but just to recognise that it's an important aspect of your overall health and well-being.
Dr. Aisling Loy of St. James's Hospital, thank you so much for joining us.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the three-bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.